Thank you for being in our evening assembly for worship. We are so very pleased that you are with us tonight to look into the Word of God together. And I've selected as the topic for this evening some points from the life of Daniel that come from the Old Testament book of Daniel. The account of Daniel's life is probably very familiar to you if you're a student of the Bible and you spend much time studying, especially the experience of Daniel being cast into the lion's den, which seems to be a very familiar story with our young people in our Bible classes. As a young man, Daniel was carried away from his homeland, carried to exile in the nation of Babylon. In the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came to Jerusalem and besieged it. In the very first chapter and first verse of the book of Daniel in the Old Testament, he made order that some of the royal family and nobles, youths in whom there was no defect, who were good-looking, showing intelligence in every branch of wisdom, endowed with understanding and discerning knowledge, and who had ability for serving the king's court, according to the record, be taken to Babylon for royal service there after an extensive training period. Daniel was a young man who was a part of this group. There, Daniel grew in spirit, he grew in reputation, he grew a powerful influence among his associates in that country for a period of 70 years. Daniel's example plainly teaches that indeed it is possible for a person to live a godly life in the midst of people who worship idols, in the midst of people who do not honor and serve or know anything about Jehovah God. Daniel was blessed by God because his commitment to God met the expectations that God had for a faithful servant. I'd like for you to consider some of those points with me tonight in our lesson in the time that we have to study together. In the first place, I want to suggest to you that Daniel's commitment to God was very early in his life. He committed to God as a young man. The record said, tells us about youths in whom was no defect, who were good-looking, showing intelligence, etc., etc. In the very first chapter of Daniel, in verse 4, they were sought out by the Babylonians to enhance their nation. The nation of Babylon did not come to destroy every single person that there was. They salvaged those that they could use to prosper their own nation. Daniel could certainly be described as a young man who remembered his Creator in the days of his youth, as Solomon admonished young people to do in Ecclesiastes 12 and verse 1. Like Joseph before him, as a very young man, Joseph is introduced in the Old Testament in Genesis chapter 37 as a youth being of 17 years of age, a young man who began to have dreams of his brethren bowing down before him to depict the future of what his life would be. Daniel was very much like Joseph and very much like Timothy in the pages of our New Testament, who was admonished by Paul in instructing him to be a faithful gospel preacher, to not allow others to despise or look down upon his youth in 1 Timothy 4 and verse 12. And he further said to Timothy in 2 Timothy 1 and verse 5, I'm mindful of the sincere faith that is in you. Here is a young man. Paul says you have sincere faith in you. Quite a compliment to the young man. He reminded him that in his second letter to Timothy in chapter 3 and verse 15, that even from childhood he was a person who knew the sacred writings which were able to give him wisdom that leads to salvation in Christ Jesus. Young people can indeed be very faithful to God and very strong in their convictions. Daniel was a young man who stood by his godly convictions in the very first chapter of the book called after his name. Beginning in verse 8, we are told that Daniel made up his mind that he would not defile himself with the king's choice of food or with the wine that he drank. So he sought permission from the commander of the officials that he might not defile himself. We're told in verse 9 that God granted Daniel favor and compassion in the sight of the commander of the officials. And the commander of the officials reasoned with Daniel and allowed Daniel to invoke an experiment. He gave him permission to have this experiment about the food that he ate. And the commander, because of the favor that God showed Daniel and his companions, agreed to allow him to do that in listening to the matter and testing him through the experiment of foods for about 10 days. And at the end of 10 days, their appearance seemed better, and they were fatter than all the youths who had been eating the king's choice food. So the overseer continued to withhold the choice food and the wine they were to drink and kept giving them vegetables. Notice regarding Daniel that he didn't leave God when he was swept away by the Babylonians, taken from his home. He could have been a young man that was very bitter about the experience that he underwent. This is my homeland. This is where I was raised. I'm comfortable here. I have a good life here. And he could have been very bitter about the fact that the Babylonians had carried him away and taken him to a strange land where he'd never been before. And notice that he didn't try to blend in with the Babylonian lifestyle and lose himself and lose his faith in God and just be a regular Babylonian citizen when he was carried into exile. He lived these principles many, many years before Paul wrote these very principles when he wrote to the Romans, and he said in chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, I urge you by the mercies of God to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. That was the principle that Daniel lived as a young man when bad things happened to him. Daniel was a young man with many more worthwhile years to give to God. As a young man, he was able to give of his youthful energy. You know, if you want to be re-energized or appreciate the fact of energy in people, just look at a young person. Look at some of our young people that attend our assemblies here and how filled with energy they are and how much energy and zeal and effort they put into things because they're young people. And you appreciate that very much. As a young man, Daniel gave God his youthful, energetic service. And when Daniel became old, after living many years in Babylonian exile, he was still a man who was faithful to God. His faith was stronger. His convictions provided him with wisdom that would help him to glorify God all of his life. What a great example we see in Daniel. Daniel's commitment was early in life. He didn't adopt the philosophy that some of our people are encouraging our young people of our society to do. Sow your wild oats. You have plenty of time. Live the way you want to live. Do what you want to live. Experiment with things. Anything you would like to do in life, you have plenty of time to settle down and live right later on. Daniel wasn't that way. He committed early in life to God and was faithful to God as a young man. Secondly, Daniel's commitment to God was very deep. It wasn't shallow. It wasn't on the surface. It wasn't a veneer. It wasn't a mask. His commitment to God was very deep-seated in his heart. Daniel made up his mind in chapter 1 and verse 8 that he would not defile himself with the king's food. The King James Version, I love it, says, but Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself. That's what the Bible means when it says that a person's made up his mind about something. It means that he settled it deep in his heart. That he allows a strong conviction to reside in his heart. This is the way I'm going to live. And I'm going to do everything I can do to be faithful to my principles. That's the kind of man that Daniel was, even as a young man. Any person deeply committed to God will reflect that conviction and those sentiments in all of his outward conduct. Everything that he does will show that he's deeply committed to faith in God. Proverbs 4 and verse 23 admonishes us to watch over our hearts with all diligence, for from it flow the springs of life. Also in Proverbs 23 and verse 7, it indicates to us that as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. That's the man. That's the key to a person's identity. That's who a person really is, who he is in his heart. Daniel could have been the type of person that acted as if he just wanted to impress other men who were his peers. And he just kind of went along with the principles about God and how I should live and what God's law is because he wanted to impress the people around him. And it could have been a situation where his convictions didn't run very deep at all. He just wanted to look like everybody else. He had a deeper motive than that. Daniel could have been the type of person that acted as he did solely to show defiance toward those who brought him into captivity. He could have been a person who harbored that anger and resentment. And he could have acted the way that he did, refusing the king's food solely on the basis because he was upset about being where he was and the conditions that brought him to that estate. But Daniel had a deeper motive than that. Daniel's commitment to God was reflected in his being unmoved by the pomp and the power and the ceremony and all of the things that attended the royal palace where he was put to work. Very many people have allowed the splendor of royalty with its finest furnishings and its lavish lifestyle to lure them into the depths of destruction. The history books are filled with examples of that very thing. But Daniel's commitment to God was reflected in his accepting the challenges of not conforming to Babylonian practices. Daniel was challenged by the special training and treatment of the select group picked for the king's service. That'd be a challenge to anyone. You're taken off to a foreign country, and now you're told you're going to study for 3 years and you're going to learn the language. You're going to learn about these people and their history. You're going to blend in with them and you're going to be able to talk the same way that they do because you're going to be trained extensively to do that very thing. Notice that after his commitment had been firmly established in his heart, that God granted Daniel favor and compassion in the sight of the commander of the officials in Daniel 1 and verse 9. Daniel was also challenged by the risk to his life that he would endure from a king who could have him destroyed upon a whim. The king could have said, "I don't like your appearance today. Take that man out and behead him." The king had the authority to do that. Life was cheap to pagan kings. And so Daniel had this challenge of risking his life all of this time. These challenges would not have been nearly as significant if he had just compromised, if he had just relaxed his faith in God, if he had just eased up on his convictions and not been so strong about them, just kind of let them dissipate and be hidden and blend in with everyone else. He would have faded into the crowd of historical unknowns as far as God's book is concerned if he had done that. But he would have never known the blessings of the will of God, as Paul called them to the Romans, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. He would have never known that. Daniel's commitment was very, very deep. And it was genuine. Daniel's commitment was a lasting commitment. In chapter 1, 20 and 21, the record says this: "As for every matter of wisdom and understanding about which the king consulted them, he found them 10 times better than all the magicians and conjurers who were in all his realm. And Daniel continued until the first year of Cyrus the king." Daniel remained in service until the reign of King Cyrus of the Persians, some 65 years later. How does a person endure that kind of record in a society such as Babylonian society in the royal confines? How does a person do that? His commitment was lasting. As an old man, about 90 years old, he was still faithful and strong in the Lord. Years of struggle had not worn him down. He didn't think later in life, you know, I've been through all of this, and I was faithful back in the days when I was filled with youth and zeal. I was faithful to God, and now I can just rest on my laurels and coast the rest of the way. He didn't have that type of attitude. And all of the difficulties that he had to go through, he never got to the point where he said, this last trial is just too much. I give up. Have you known someone who has given up on their faithful service to God because of maybe a series of bad things that have happened to them in life? That's tragic, isn't it? We can use those trials to develop patience and endurance, as James writes in his very practical letter about Christianity in the very first chapter. We can use the trials of life, the testings of life, to make us patient people and to help us endure the struggles that will come our way as we continue to live in this life, all the while maintaining faithfulness in God and holding tight, holding firm to the faith that we have in Christ. Years of struggle had not worn Daniel down, and years of struggle should not wear us down either. We need to endure. Years of service had helped prepare Daniel to face one of the strongest challenges that anybody would ever face. Could you imagine being thrown into a den of lions? Could you imagine the fear that a person would have just at seeing a hungry, vicious, wild animal that you know is there not to be a pet of the royal house, but is there to eliminate people as a form of capital punishment? Could you imagine the fear that Daniel went through? But his years of service and his years of faithfulness provided the strength that he needed to endure this trial as well, the one that's recorded for us in Daniel chapter 6. Consider his reaction to Darius' decree in chapter 6 and verse 10. When Daniel knew that a decree had been issued, the document was signed by the king, outlawing prayer to anyone other than the king for a period of 30 days, here's what Daniel does. He entered his house. Now in his roof chamber, he had windows open toward Jerusalem. Anyone could see him in the window. And he continued kneeling down on his knees 3 times a day, praying and giving thanks before God as he had been doing previously. Why didn't he just say, well, you know, the easiest thing to do would be just take a break from prayer for about 30 days. That way I'll stay out of trouble with the king. Nobody will see me and turn me in and cause me any difficulty with violating the king's decree or anything like that. I'll just take a break from prayer for about 30 days. You know, he could have done that. And people of our day are encouraged to think that way. Take a break from God for a while. Take a vacation from God when you go on a personal vacation. Do what you need to do. Work around. Just make it convenient for you. But Daniel wasn't that way. Daniel had a conviction that prayer was a powerful tool to use, a great blessing given to him by God, and he was not about to miss. Consider his deliverance by God in chapter 6, beginning in verse 18. The king went off to his palace and spent the night fasting, and no entertainment was brought before him. And his sleep fled from him. This is while Daniel's in the lion's den. Then the king arose at dawn at break of day and went to in haste to the lion's den. And when he had come near the den to Daniel, he cried out with a troubled voice. The king spoke and said to Daniel, "Daniel, servant of the living God, has your God, whom you constantly serve, been able to deliver you from the lions?" Then Daniel spoke to the king, "O king, live forever. My God has sent his angel and shut the lions' mouths, that they have not harmed me, insomuch as I was found innocent before him and also toward you, O king. I have committed no crime." Then the king was very pleased and gave orders for Daniel to be taken up out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no injury whatever was found upon him because he had trusted in his God. What a great example. Don't you agree? Consider his life after the lion's den. In verse 24 of chapter 6, the king then gave orders, and they brought those men who had maliciously accused Daniel, and they cast them, their children, and their wives into the lion's den. And they had not reached the bottom of the den before the lions overpowered them and crushed all their bones. Then Darius, the king, wrote to all the peoples, nations, and men of every language who are living in all the land, "May your peace abound. I make a decree that in all the dominion of my kingdom, men are to fear and tremble before the God of Daniel. For he is the living God and enduring forever, and his kingdom is one which will not be destroyed, and his dominion will be forever. He delivers and rescues and performs signs and wonders in the heaven and on earth, who has also delivered Daniel from the power of the lions." So this Daniel enjoyed success in the reign of Darius, in the reign of Cyrus the Persian. What a marvelous record that is about his life after the lion's den. And so as an old man, he could look back over a lifetime of spiritual growth. He could see his progression of growth as he considered his own life. And by the time that he needed to refuse the king's food, he had the character that he needed and the strength that he needed to be able to do that. By the time he needed to interpret Nebuchadnezzar's dream, he had the added wisdom that he needed to do that. In chapter 2 of Daniel, a decree went forth that the wise men should be slain, and they looked for Daniel and his friends to kill them because no one could tell the king what his dream was and make an interpretation of it. So Daniel replied with discretion and discernment to the captain of the king's bodyguard who had gone forth to slay the wise men of Babylon and reasoned with the man because of his great discretion and discernment, which helped to preserve him alive. By the time he needed to interpret the handwriting on the wall, he had gained the reputation that he needed in order to be able to do that. In Daniel 5, beginning in verse 10, the queen entered the banquet hall because of the words of the king and his nobles, and the queen spoke and said, "O king, live forever. Do not let your thoughts alarm you or your face be pale. There is a man in your kingdom in whom is a spirit of the holy gods. And in the days of your father, illumination, insight, and wisdom, like the wisdom of the gods, were found in him. And King Nebuchadnezzar, your father the king, appointed him chief of the magicians, conjurers, Chaldeans, and diviners. This was because an extraordinary spirit, knowledge, and insight, interpretation of dreams, explanation of enigmas, and solving of difficult problems were found in this Daniel, whom the king named Belteshazzar. Let Daniel now be summoned, and he will declare the interpretation." By the time he needed to face the lions, then, he had developed the courage that he needed to do that. And by the time he needed to help deliver the Jews from Babylonian exile, he had developed the influence that he needed to be able to accomplish that as well. Daniel prospered in the reign of Cyrus in chapter 6 and verse 28, and he emancipated the Jews. Second Chronicles chapter 36, beginning in verse 22, says this, "Now in the first year of Cyrus, king of Persia, in order to fulfill the word of the Lord by the mouth of Jeremiah, the Lord stirred up the spirit of Cyrus, king of Persia, so that he sent a proclamation throughout his kingdom and also put it in writing, saying, Thus says Cyrus, king of Persia, the Lord, the God of heaven, has given me all the kingdoms of the earth, and he has appointed me to build a house in Jerusalem, which is in Judah. Whoever there is among you of all his people, may the Lord his God be with him, and let him go up." Cyrus knew about the Lord God of heaven, likely because of Daniel's powerful influence. Daniel's commitment to God was early in life. He didn't wait around. He came to believe in God, and he committed to God as a young man. Daniel's commitment to God was very deep. It was genuine. It was firmly etched in his heart. And that's the way he lived. Daniel's commitment was lasting. It lasted him through his entire life. Daniel's obedience to God's law, even in a pagan land, was a test of his faithfulness to God. It led to God granting him the privilege of serving as his spokesman and serving as a prophet that you and I can study about today as Christians and followers of Jesus Christ. God gave him great insight because he had proven faithful in small things. You know, Jesus indicated a principle when he was teaching on this earth that indicated if we are faithful in small things, God will make us faithful in much. Isn't that what we see in the life of Daniel? A man who's first faithful in small things and later becomes faithful in large things. This teaches us that our own usefulness to God in future circumstances comes from our faithfulness to God in the present times of trial and testing that you and I are enduring. Remember, our commitment to God needs to be early, deep, and lasting. By doing this, Daniel had all that he needs to succeed. He had character. He had spirituality. He had faith in his God. He had wisdom. He had a good reputation among people where he served. He had a great deal of courage and a very strong influence with other people. What about you tonight? Do you have the commitment? Do you have the faith? Do you have the courage of a Daniel? Are you on the road and you're being faithful in small things to one day be faithful in great things as well? If you're in our assembly tonight and you're not a Christian, we urge you to learn the truth that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and your Bible teaches you that. And in that belief, if you believe that he is the Son of God, you also come to believe that he has the right and the authority to tell you what to believe and what to do. And the reason he wants you to believe in him and do what he asks you to do is because he wants you to be with him in heaven after this life is over. He wants you to be with him in eternity, to be blessed and to serve him in whatever way that he decides is best then. If you're in our assembly tonight and we can help you with that, we'd be delighted to do it. Will you respond to the Lord's invitation to develop the same kind of commitment as Daniel did? If you will, please come to the front and let me know about it while we stand together and encourage you by singing the invitation song.